Well, that's a good question. So today, my friends, we should say, okay, my friends, because I've been told I say that. I guess I didn't realize, but okay, this is how I start all my stories. So to stay on trend, okay, today's story is actually from the collection of Rudyard Kipling's stories, the Just So Stories. We got this book and it's really cool. And this particular story is called How the Camel Got His Hump. And the illustrations for this one are by Claire Malinsky. And it's read today by Mommy and... What's your name?
Baby Kitten.
Baby Kitten. Oh, tiny little meow. Right? Love it. All right, well, Mommy and her baby kitten are about to figure out how the camel got his hump. Ready? Now, this is the next tale, and it tells how the camel got his big hump. In the beginning of years, when the world was so new and all, and the animals were just beginning to work for man, there was a camel, and he lived in the middle of a howling desert because he did not want to work. And besides, he was a howler himself, so he ate sticks and thorns and tamarisks and milkweed and prickles, most excruciating idle. And when nobody spoke to him, he said, "Humph," just "humph," and no more. Now, presently, the horse came to him on Monday morning with a saddle on his back and a bit in his mouth. Do you know what a bit is? Oh, I'm so glad I get to answer this question. So, in order to ride a horse properly, you do need to have a few things. The saddle helps you kind of sit comfortably on the horse and also protects the horse. And then it needs a bit and a bridle, which are tools that you use to control which direction the horse goes. The bit is actually kind of a little bit of metal that you would have the horse bite onto. It goes in their mouth. And then they know if I should go faster or if I should go slower or if I should go left or right based on how you pull on the bit. It's a communication tool for the person who's riding the horse and the horse itself. Okay. Anyways, moving on. So he has a bit in his mouth and a saddle on his back, and he says,
Oh, camel, come out and trot like the rest of us.
"Humph," said the camel. And the horse went away and told the man. Well, presently, the dog came to him with a stick in its mouth. I bet you he's been playing, right? Because dogs love sticks. And the dog says,
Camel, come and fetch and carry like the rest of us.
Hmm, says the camel. And so the dog went away and told the man. Now, presently, the ox came to him. And now oxen, those are big cattle, right? And he had the yoke on his neck. And in the picture, we can see what a yoke is. A yoke is a yoke is another tool that you would use to communicate with the animal. The human would put the yoke around their neck, and it would be attached to a long chain, and then you could use that long chain to attach to like a plow or something, or a cart. And then you could have the oxen pull the cart.
Or like the cow.
Yeah, a cow is another way. Oxen, yeah, same sort of thing. Okay. So presently the ox came to him with the yoke around his neck, and he said,
Camel, come and plow like the rest of us.
"Humph," said the camel, and the ox went away and told the man. Now, at the end of the day, The man called the horse and the dog and the ox together and said,
"Three, oh three, I am very sorry for you, with the world so new and all, but that humping thing in the desert can't work, or he would have been here by now. So I'm going to leave him alone, and you must work double time to make up for it."
What? Does that seem fair that these three have to do all the extra work while the camel does nothing? What do you think? If you were a dog or a horse or an oxen and you had that happen, what would you think? Would you be, "Oh, okay, that's fine"?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, well, guess what? After what the man said, that made the three very angry and with the world so new and all. So they held a palaver and an indaba and a punjata, which is a powwow, right, at the edge of the desert. They're all getting together to chat. They're going to talk about this, and they're going to say, "Here's the things that we don't agree with. Here's the things that we do agree with." And they're just going to talk it up. Well, the camel came chewing milkweed, most excruciating idol, and laughed at them. And he said, "Humph," and went away again. Well, presently, there came along a djinn in charge of all deserts, rolling in a cloud of dust. And djinns always travel like that because it's a magical way. And he stopped to palaver and powwow with the three. Do you know what a djinn is?
It's like a genie.
A very good. It is exactly a genie. This is a mythological, magical creature. A person-type creature who can do magical things.
"Djinn of the deserts," said the horse, "is it right for any one of us to be idle with the world so new and all?"
"Certainly not," said the djinn.
"Well," said the horse, "there's a thing in the middle of your howling desert, and he's a howler himself, with a long neck and long legs, and he hasn't done a stroke of work since Monday morning, and he won't trot."
"Whew," said the djinn, whistling. "Whew,
that's my camel. For all the gold in Arabia, what does he say about it?" "He says, humph," said the dog, "and he won't fetch and carry."
"Does he say anything else?"
"Only humph, and he won't plow,"
said the ox.
"Very good," said the djinn. "I'll humph him,
if you will kindly wait a minute." And so the djinn rolled himself up into his dust cloak, and he took a bearing across the desert and found the camel, most excruciatingly idle, which means excruciating is painfully, and idle means not doing anything helpful. And so what is this camel doing? Looking at his own reflection in a pool of water, like standing and looking in the mirror.
"My long bubbling friend," said the djinn, "what's all this I hear of your doing no work with the world so new and all?"
"Humph,"
said the camel. And the djinn sat down with his chin in his hand and began to think a great magic, while the camel looked at his own reflection in the pool of water. "You've given the three extra work ever since Monday morning, all on account of your excruciating idleness," said the djinn. And then he went on thinking magics with his chin in his hand.
"Humph,"
said the camel. "I shouldn't say that again if I were you," said the djinn. "You might say it once too often, Bubbles, and I want you to work." And the camel said, "Humph!" again, but no sooner had he said it than he saw on his back that he was so proud of, puffing up and up into a great big lolloping humph. "Did you see that?" said the djinn. "That's your very own humph that you've brought upon your very own self by not working. Today is Thursday, and you've done no work since Monday when the work began, and now you are going to work."
"How can I?" said the camel, "with this hump on my back."
"That's made a purpose," said the djinn. "All because you missed those 3 days, you will be able to work now for 3 days without eating. Because you can live on your humph. And don't you ever say I never did anything for you. Come out of the desert and go to the three and behave. Humph yourself." And the camel humphed himself, hump and all, and went away to join the three. And from that day to this, the camel always wears a humph. Well, we call it a hump now, not to hurt his feelings. Because he has never caught up with the 3 days that he missed at the beginning of the world, and he has never yet learned how to behave. And there's a poem at the end of each of these books. I skipped yesterday's. Would you like me to read today's? It goes like this. "The camel's hump is an ugly lump, which well you may see at the zoo. But uglier yet is the hump we get from having too little to do. Kitties and grown-ups too, ooh, ooh. If we haven't enough to do, ooh, ooh, we get the hump. Camellia's hump. The hump that is black and blue. We climb out of bed with a frowsly head and a snarly, yarly voice. We shiver and scowl and grunt and growl at our bath and our boots and our toys. There ought to be a corner for me. I know there is one for you. When we get the hump, the camel's hump, the hump that is black and blue. The cure for this ill is not to sit still or frowst with a book by the fire, but to take a large hoe and a shovel also and dig till you gently perspire. And then you will find that the sun and the wind and the djinn of the garden, too, have lifted the hump, the horrible hump, the hump that is black and blue. I get it as well as you, ooh, ooh, if I haven't enough to do, ooh, ooh. We all get the hump, the camellia's hump, kitties and grown-ups, too." And this is a very funny little poem, because what it basically boils down to is this. Don't sit around doing nothing like the camel does, or you'll end up with a hump. And I think he might actually be referring to something slightly different than the hump of, like, bad posture because you've been sitting in front of the video game for too long. But that's what I'm going to go with. It's not good for you. Be active. Be useful. Be helpful. Always be looking around and thinking to yourself, what can I do to be helpful? Because that's the best way to be. And that is also the end. Thanks so much for listening to today's story. If you wanted to get a copy of this story, I have got a great tool I wanted to make you aware of. You can pop over to amazon.com/shop/storytimewithphilipandmommy, and you will see I've created a list for every month of the year, and in each list, I have put links for every story that we have read in that month. So you can easily find a link to the story so you can purchase it for yourself. And of course, this all goes to help support our podcast so we can get new materials. And of course, don't forget, you can also pick up your copy of the Storytime with Philip and Mommy book, The Sprightly Sprite and the Dragon Dragon. And of course, we always hope that you guys enjoy our stories. And we want to say thank you so much for listening.